We're so glad that you've joined us today on the Relevant Church podcast. There's so much God wants to do in and through you as you listen to this message. If you want to learn more about Relevant Church, visit us online at thisisrelevant.cc.
I wanted you to take a moment. Everybody in here, I want you to take a moment, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath and to sit back in your seat. Get real comfortable. Uncross your arms, man. Gosh. Take a deep breath. Relax. I want you to think about that thing that you want. That thing that you desire. The thing that you desire the most. I want you to just take a moment and think about it right now. It could be anything. It could be really anything. It could be a vacation. Think about the vacation that you want to take. In that place that you've always wanted to visit. It could be getting back into shape. Hello, somebody. We were supposed to have a summer bod, and that didn't happen. Next summer, in the name of Jesus. Speaking into existence, baby. Come on. Maybe it's pursuing your education. Maybe it's going back to school, getting that degree or getting that high school diploma because you dropped out. Or maybe it's going to get an advanced degree. Maybe for some of you guys, you've been putting off getting your doctorate and you're like, man, I really want to do this. Maybe it's making more money. Hello, somebody. You want to make more money. Think about that thing that you want. You want more money. You want a better job. Maybe it's healing. Maybe your health is not in the greatest space right now. Maybe the healing that you're looking for is healing in your marriage or in your relationship. It could be a relationship with a spouse, a significant other, a child, a parent. Maybe you want healing. Maybe it's your dream car. Think about it. Think about that thing that you want. I want you to really think. How many people are actually thinking about that thing? Okay. Most of y'all thinking about it. Everybody else is like, just hurry up and finish this message. No. I'm preach it. Now, here goes the question. Why don't you have it? Why don't you have it? Why don't you have it already? Why haven't you attained it yet? Okay. How close are you to attaining it? How close are you to actually realizing that dream or that goal that you're looking forward to? Did you know that there's a study that says only 8% of people actually achieve their dreams and goals? Only 8%. And I'm telling you, almost everybody in here has dreamt about something. Very few people in this room have ever gone through life without dreaming about something, having a goal towards something. But the reality is only 8%. That means 92% of the people in this room will never reach their dreams or their goals. 92%. Over 100 people in this room right now will never reach their goals. Some studies have gone on to say that 98% of people will never reach their goals. That means 98% of people will die without achieving their dreams and goals that they wanted, desired, and hoped for. That's sobering. So why haven't you achieved yours? So why haven't you gotten closer to your dream? See, most of us in this room and most of us in the world have great excuses. I mean, we have great reasons. We have a lot of reasons of why we are not achieving our goals, why we're not even pursuing our goals. We want something but refuse to go get it, and we've got good reasons. We've told ourselves the right reasons. We've written them down on our hearts to convince ourselves, I don't need to go for that. I'd like to submit a presupposition to y'all in this room of why most of us have not achieved or are even anywhere on track to achieving our goals. You guys following me? Y'all quiet, so this is hitting home. First reason is we don't really want what we say we want. Let's just be honest. We don't really want it. It's a great idea. It's a pie-in-the-sky idea. I'd like to vacation in Tahiti, but you don't really want it. Man, I would love to fly on a private jet. You don't really want it. It's an idea. The second reason why most of us have not achieved or even on track to reaching our dreams and goals is that we don't believe that will realistically ever achieve it. So the first reason is we don't really want it. We just talk a lot. You know, people always talking about something that they're gonna do, but they never get around to doing it. Man, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this. You don't even want it because you haven't even taken steps towards it. And then the other group of individuals don't achieve it because they don't think it's realistic. They don't think they could ever actually achieve it, so it just becomes a lost dream. So what we've done, PT, can you grab me my blanket and the katana's back there? What we've done is we've made our bed in the comfort of complacency, rather than risk the discomfort of possibility. I'll say it again. Most of us have made our bed in the comfort of complacency rather than risk the discomfort of possibility. Thank you. So, should be good. That's how most of us walk around life. It's my cover of excuses. It's real comfortable. It's comfortable right here. So yesterday, my wife and I decided, she said, oh, Lord Jesus. No, it's okay, baby. I'm not. We ain't going there. We're running errands and decided to grab something to eat. And we were just going to grab it to go because there's things that I needed to do at home. There's things that she wanted to do. And so we decided we're just going to grab it to go. But when I went into the restaurant, we walked into the restaurant, something just says, go sit down, like dine in. And even my wife asked me, she says, why are we dining in? And I thought we were going to leave. I said, you know, something's just like, let's just sit down. Let's just eat, get it over with so that we can leave. So we go and we sit down, and as we're eating, God gives me an object lesson. Now, I've been planning on preaching about the ant in Proverbs 6. And there was one time I ended up dropping a piece of my food, and it lands on the ground. And we go about our merry way, and I look down. I couldn't really see where I was at, so I just kind of let it go. As we were coming to the end of our meal, I looked down, and there was a gazillion ants. A gazillion, because we're sitting outside. A gazillion ants. And I looked down, and something was really interesting to me, that I had looked at the same spot, nothing was there, but this time there were ants covered because there was this wet spot where the piece of food had fallen, but yet while there was a bunch of ants, there was also another trail of ants towards the actual piece of food. And what I realized is that there was no trail of food. There was no sliding. It is as if that piece of food had dropped there, moved there, and I could just see a bunch of ants just taking pieces. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at this. And I get fascinated looking at these ants because I believe that the Lord has a word for us within these ants. And it was a confirmation that some of y'all really need to listen to this word and we need to really pay attention because God wants to speak to us something with some ants. So in verse 6 of Proverbs chapter 6, it says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard." Now, O sluggard is just another word for lazy. So I've put lazy in parentheses or in brackets, and for the rest of this text, you'll see that I've just replaced sluggard for lazy. It's the exact same thing. Now, in the context of this word, it's about those who refuse to work, those who slack off. That's what it's talking about. Those people who are comfortable with not having to do anything. Individuals who are not apprehended by any means of urgency. They chilling. You know those type of people. Ain't really trying to do nothing. They just always chilling. Don't have any desire to be more, do more, experience more. Now, this word ant is only used twice in Scripture. It's only in the Proverbs. And it's always in association with wisdom and prudence. The only time that the Lord has ever used ant in his word is trying to teach us something about how to be wise and how to be prudent and how to bring providence and provision. And so he's saying, go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways. Since you like slacking off so much, go sit and watch an anthill. He's not talking to wildlife biologists. He's not talking to zoologists. He's talking to the lazy person that doesn't want to do anything. He says, since you got so much time in your hands, go watch some ants. How lazy do you have to be to sit there and just watch ants? How much do you not have going on in your life? There's so little. You have to squint. You got to sit there. You got to look. And in the grand scheme of things, they move slow as all get out. He says, go watch the ants. Since you're lazy, since you're not doing anything, even ants can provide you wisdom. How incredible is that, that the Lord in all his majesty could have used the oceans, he could have used whales, he could use tigers, lions, and bears, he could have used the stars. He says, no, the whole earth declares my glory. Look at an ant. I created that. Want to see how creative I am? I can even use an ant to teach you wisdom. It goes on in verse 7, without having any chief or officer or ruler. Ants don't have foremen. They don't have leadership ranks. Messed me up when I read this text. Because I remember as a kid watching cartoons and always depicted ants like army people. And there was always some dude with a hat on talking about, come on now, hit, 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 hit. It was all like, so as I'm reading this text, I was like, I thought they got like a general. Literally, I went to start researching. I'm like, is the Bible wrong on this? Because in my experience, of watching cartoons, there was always some foreman, some general, some officer leading this trail of army ants. But with scripture and what biology and zoology tells us, that ants don't need a leadership structure. They don't have foremen. They don't need a king. They don't need anybody to tell them what to do. Ants don't need to be babysat, handheld. They are self-starters. When the piece of food dropped, nobody had to be like, okay, this is what you got to do. You got to go. You got to get that little piece, walk it back over here, stack it over here, move it over here. All right, we're going to create a pile over here. No, it was like, food, word. One ant was, yo, you smell that? Say less. He didn't have to coax anybody. He didn't have to build anybody. Whose name is this? Hold on. I heard y'all orange team is struggling. Praise God for the orange team. Tammy, I need you to show up for your team. Ants are self-starters. They get going. They don't need anybody to convince them to do anything. They get up, they see opportunity, and they go take ground. They take opportunity. Verse 8, it says this. So verse 7, without having any chief or officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in the summer and gathers her food in harvest. Ants gather in the summer so that they can survive the winter. Ants gather in the summer so that they can survive in winter because their bodies are so little that when the winter comes, they'll freeze to death if they're out. So they've got to hurry up and get some food, and then they go and hibernate all winter so that they can live. But let me teach you about ants, lest you think that they're stockpiling food somewhere like the cartoons taught us. Listen to this. Watch this. In the warm months, ants consume their nutrients from a variety of foods, including nectar, seeds, and plants. It is also important for their diet to include protein-rich materials like meat and dead insects for egg production. So they're consuming their food, they're eating, but check this out. This is where it gets really good. In the late summer, ants shift their diets to carbohydrates, which are then stored and converted to energy for the winter months. This helps them gain weight prior to the season change so that they can survive the harsh weather and food scarcity. They don't go store it out there, they store it in here. Ants don't go and create a nest egg. They are the nest egg. I'm filling myself so that when winter comes, I can survive based off of what's already inside of me. I'm not waiting for what's out there. I'm not trying to get what everybody else has over here. I don't need what you got because all I need is in here. They shift their diet. Check this out. So they've been eating all summer, and then they shift their diet in anticipation for the inevitable. Winter comes for us all. Will you be ready? Winter's gonna come at some point of time in your life. Are you going to be positioned to thrive or to suffer? When winter shows up, are you going to be trying to go get a little bit of PC's food and PT's food and PLU's food and Austin's food and say, hey, do you have a little bit more? Do you have a little bit? Or is it going to be right here? Is it already going to store it inside of you? Are you going to be looking for somebody to pray for you? Or are you going to be praying for yourself? Because thy word I have stored in my heart that I may not sin against thee.
consider the ant. If an ant can do it, what's your excuse? Verse 9. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? How long will you lie there, lazy? Anybody got a teenager at home? Ooh, these teens, I love you. Where's my son at? Teenagers can sleep, y'all. And I got, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Has anybody seen Isaiah? I go, and I'm one of those dads. I'm one of those dads who knocks and opens at the exact same time. What you doing? What you doing? What you doing? What you got? Who you talking to? I'll knock on the door and open at the same time. And, you know, you think, like, he there sitting playing video games. This dude. Isaiah. What time is it? Time to get your... How long will you lie there, lazy? He ain't been lazy, though. He been mowing the lawn for me this year. He been taking care of business. Praise God for Isaiah. But he's talking to the lazy person. Said, how long will you lie there, lazy, idle? Unmoved. Indifferent to your situation. Come on, somebody. I'm going somewhere with this. I need y'all to lean in. This is good teaching. This is good for you right now to listen to this. How long will you lie there idle to what's going on around you? How long will you lie there unmoved by your situation? How long will you lie there indifferent to what is happening all around you? And some of us have been laying there for a while. We've been laying there for years. Some of us have been laying there for 30 years. 40 years. 5 years. 2 years. It doesn't matter how long, you just gonna sit there, lay there unmoved. We've literally made our bed in our circumstance. In fact, our circumstances have become our bed of comfort. Just lay down. Just, this is what life is. It's what always happens to me. I mean, no point in getting up. Just gonna sit here and cover up. And some of us, that's exactly how we live our life. And the crazy thing is that we think because we're moving, we're not covered up. Everybody sees the cloak around us. Everybody sees us in this bed of comfort. But I'm good. I'm walking, aren't I? But what's that thing around you? What is that weight around you? What's that covered around you? I just heard a high-pitched noise. It sounded like somebody was on the keys, man. I wish I had a... Corn, I'm going to have you switch this to an organ. Every time I say a good word... I know you can do it. Let me say, Corn got more soul than the average black man. That's why when I was on stage, I was like, Corn, just take it away. Just take, just do it. And here's the thing, when we're called out, when somebody calls us out, man, why you got that cover? Why you got that cover of comfort all around you? Why you got that cover of complacency around you? We begin to coddle our but it's so comfortable. We begin to coddle our complacency, we begin to start defending our dysfunction. You don't get it. You don't understand my life. You don't understand what I've been around. You don't understand what I've done. You don't understand what's been done to me. Things never seem to work out for me. You wonder why I'm covered up? You wonder why I'm in this bed of comfort? Because it never works. Life is so hard. You don't understand my trauma. You don't know my story. You don't know what they said about me. You don't understand how they fired me. You don't understand how she left me or he left me. You don't understand how I lost it all. You don't understand why. I can't. I don't have any money. I don't have enough resources. I've got nobody supporting me. No one is willing to invest in me. No one is there to help you. Oh, this is my favorite one. I'm not like you. What you saying? You don't even know me. For real, for real. I can't just change overnight. What do you want from me? What do you expect me to do? I mean, Pastor, you preached about fear weeks ago. I just live in a state of fear. Can I tell you something? Don't blame fear while covering yourself with a security blanket of complacency. You ain't scared. You just comfortable. It's not hard. You just don't want it. Walking around. Don't this just look dumb on me if I just preached on this on stage all day? I know Kanye would rock this, but half of the stuff he wears is dumb. I know this is online. We love you, Kanye. Joe said I could use a blanket. But you sit there and be like, man, why would you wear that? Why would you wear yours? Why do you keep yours? First lesson that we're going to learn in this thing is don't blame fear while covering up yourself with a security blanket of complacency. See how uncomfortable it is? I can't even keep it over my shoulder. Your complacency ain't even really all that comfortable because it keeps getting in your way. Every time you want to move around, every time you want to make a move, it starts falling off. But yet you hold on to it. You struggle with it and you just will not let it go. When will you arise? When will you arise from your sleep? Let me just teach you something. Let me teach you something right here. This is not talking to someone who's physically asleep. Sleep is a metaphor for willful neglect of responsibility. It's a metaphor. It's not that the person is incapable, but they're unwilling to choose action. It's not that the person can't move. It's not that the person is physically or emotionally incapable, but they're willing to choose staying in a state of inaction over activity. They're making excuses of why they've thrown in the towel. They're making excuses of why it's difficult to get up. Listen to what Proverbs 26:13 says this. The lazy person claims, there's a lion on the road. Yes, I'm sure there's a lion out there. They're not even on the road. There's a lion on the road. Have you been there? No, but I'm sure there's a lion out there somewhere. It's going to come get me. Big bad lion. I'm scared. I'm going to stay here. Huh. Look at it. Proverbs 26:14, the next verse over. As a door swings back and forth on its hinges, so the lazy person turns over in the bed.
Yeah. When you open a door, it moves, but it don't go nowhere. That's a lazy person. Turnover, but getting absolutely nowhere. Are y'all tracking with me? Now, some of you guys in here, oh man, some of y'all in here got your arms crossed. This ain't got nothing to do with me. Hurry up and finish this sermon. Because I'm good. I'm not lazy. I got a job. I got a good car. I got a house. I own my home. I got money in the bank account. What are you talking about? I'm not lazy. I'm pretty much living the American dream. I'm good. And Zach, I ain't talking about you because your arms are crossed, okay? All right. You cross your arms all the time, so I can't be talking about you. Everything is working out for me. Oh, really? Let me ask you, how's your relationship with God? How is your relationship with the Lord? How diligently are you storing the Word of God in your heart? Well, I love these people. Oh, God knows my heart. Yeah, He knows that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. How much time are you spending in the Lord's Word? Well, you know, I'm just not a big reader. You know, when I read, I don't understand anyway. Hey, but you know what? I pray. I pray all the time. Scripture tells us that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There's another word that says, your word I've hidden in my heart that I may not sin against me. Another word that says, all scripture is God-breathed. In other parts of scripture, He says, write the word and put it on your forehead at the frontlets of your eyes so that you will never forget that my word is present and it goes before you and supposed to cover you and supposed to lead you and guide you. But you know, I mean, I get sleepy when I read the Bible. And then when winter shows up, Pastor, can you pray for me? Prayer team, can you pray for me? We need prayer. I've said it and I'm going to say it again. Do you understand that my prayer is no more effective than your prayer? You have the same access to the same God through the same Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't get to go to God before you by myself and be like, hey, God, you know, we're better. No, God says, come seek my face. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. You don't need to come to me. Store it here. So let me ask you, miss, I'm living the American dream. I'm not lazy. How's your relationship with God? Is your relationship with God alive and vibrant, or is it quiet and sleepy? You wake up every day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. God, I know you go before me, and so I am with you all day. Come on, let's do this, God. Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want? What encounter do you have for me? God, I want to search your word. Speak to me, Lord. I don't need to keep praying because praying is only a one-way dialogue. I need to hear. I need to receive. What has your word for me in my life so that I can grow? Or is it sleepy? Is your relationship with your spouse vibrant and alive, or is it quiet and sleepy? Is your relationship with your child alive and vibrant, or is it quiet and sleepy? See, we love to pick and choose. Oh, I'm good. Are you really? Because Jesus Christ says, I came to give you life and life abundantly. That means your whole life, not just one sector of your life. That's not life abundantly. That's life compartmentally. All right, let's finish this up. Verse 10 and 11. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and like an armed man. A little, Jan, just a little. Cindy, just a little. Not a whole lot. Can I just sleep a little bit? Can I just rest a little bit? Can I just sit here? It's been a long day. A little bit. We begin to rationalize. We begin to rationalize and our inactivity. I'll get to it later. I'm going to get there. It'll be done tomorrow. A little avoidance, a little procrastination, a little excuse here, a little excuse there. Lesson number two, if you want to take notes, excuses are the linguistic track of the uncommitted. I remember when I was in college, a good friend of mine taught me this because I was the chief of excuses. In fact, I haven't had a shirt that said excuse on the back. We try to make it sound good, like exemplifying courage, uniqueness, strength, and E. I don't know what the heck the E was. Because I just always used to make excuses. So one day, my brothers cornered me, and they're like, listen, excuses are the patches that we use to mend our garments of failure. But this is what I've come to realize. There's no such thing as failure. It's just feedback. And the feedback is telling you that you're not committed. That's the issue. Just a little. I'll get to the word later. I'll get to this later. I'll start that business later. I'll write that book later. I'll get later. Later. The grave is filled with people who never got to later. Some of us just need to admit it. Some of us just need to admit the fact that I'm not committed. Let me tell you something. I tell you all the time, I don't want this dad bod no more. I look in my mirror and say, you disgust me, but I'm not committed. I'm just going to be honest. Well, Muta, do something about it. I don't want to. I am not committed. Well, you know, like, I'm going to start this business. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to fix this relationship. Okay, when are you going to start? You know, the reality, I don't want to. I'm just not committed. I'm not committed to my success. I'm not committed to my health. I'm not committed to my life. I'm not committed to my faith. Just admit it. You will free yourself. The burden will be lifted. I'm just not committed. Man, I wonder how life would change when we started being really honest about everything in our lives. Like, I'm just not committed. Then you just don't look like a fool. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. No, you're just not committed. Because if you were, you would have started already. You'd already been on your way. Oh, no, but this is in the way. Excuses are the linguistic track of the uncommitted. Shut up. You're not committed. What if we started talking to people like that? Hey, you know, I just want to be used by the Lord. Hey, can you serve in kids? You know, the thing about it is, I'm just really not. Shut up. You're not committed to the Lord. Yeah.
you know, Pastor, you know, I know we're doing this, you know, we're doing this thing. It's a church, man. I just love this church, you know, but, you know, I know we serve a lot here at Relevant Church, and I just, you know, getting up in the morning, I work really late at night. Shut up. You're not committed. Because Barbara used to work overnight, 12-hour shifts, and still wake up. No, not wake up. She'll get to church, change out of her scrubs, and keep serving until 2 o'clock in the afternoon, tearing down, putting stuff away. Shut up. You're not committed. I'm not a morning person. I know. I get it. You're not committed. Man, life would be so much easier if we just said, I'm just not committed. We're more committed to fighting on the side of complacency. Can I tell you something? That thing standing in your way is not difficulty, fear, or impossibility. It's your comfort of complacency. You're not committed. You're more committed to fighting for complacency, fighting for the ideal of comfort, rather than fighting for possibility. Oh, it's so hard. I'm scared. Listen, for man, it might be impossible, but come on, somebody. The Bible tells us, for God, nothing is impossible. And so if you're on the winning side and you've checked your heart, you can stand in possibility and say, God, I'm on the winning side anyway. So I'm just going to move forward. All right, come on. Let's, Danae, come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Oh, Corn. Sorry. Corn. I apologize. I'm so used to calling Danae. Danae wasn't supposed to be in town this weekend, and she's committed. Come on, Danae. Come on, Danae. Even sent a message and said, I know I wasn't supposed to be on a worship team, but you need somebody to sing, dance, play a flute, play a harp. I'm committed. You think I'm playing? My wife got that text from Danae. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty. Well, everybody say poverty. Poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. Poverty, literally being broke. Man, I don't know why I'm so broke. You're not committed. I don't know why I don't have any resources. You're not committed. You're more committed to fighting for complacency than you are fighting for responsibility. Being broke, being destitute, figuratively and literally. And want like an armed man. Want and completeness. Always dreaming, never achieving. Suffering the curse of almost. Is there anybody in this room who, you don't have to raise your hand. Have you ever just kind of felt like, man, there's more. Why can't I just get to the other side? Why do I feel like I almost win? Like I almost get there. Like I'm almost on the other side. And I just always fall short. Which one have you been fighting for? Complacency or possibility? Want will come like an armed man. Impossibility will become your reality. I could just never get ahead. I could just never get out. Never, never. It's always like this. This is what I was going to tell you. I put an exclamation mark, but I'm not even going to yell it at you. Just hear this. This is a pastor's heart talking to you. But listen, I'm talking to myself. Can y'all hear me? Stop being lazy. Stop being lazy in your life. Stop being lazy in your relationships. Stop being lazy in your education. Stop being lazy in your faith. The issue is not difficulty. The issue is not you don't have the right resources. The issue is you're lazy. Oh, man. People don't. Why this church? Every time I come to this church, I just feel like, listen, I'm not here to coddle you. I'm here to enroll you into a better, new, greater possibility for your life. I can tell you Jesus loves you all day, but Jesus loving you won't change you. It's you accepting that love and moving and acting on that love. Stop being lazy. Why? Because winter is coming for all of us. The way of this world is separation, death, decay. Will you be equipped and ready to stand in the day of trouble? Stop being lazy. Can I tell you the greatest tragedy of life is not failure. It's the unwillingness to change. Many of us are just so comfortable right where we're at. Complacency has become our cloak. Circumstances have become our bed. But people are coming saying, listen, there's hope. There's another way you can change. There's new opportunities. There's new possibility. But I can't. I can't. It's so hard. I won't. It's so difficult. Can I tell you the last lesson here? Complacency guarantees impossibility. The very thing you're afraid of, you're creating because you're not stepping out on the faith that we preached about 2 weeks ago. Complacency guarantees impossibility, but action opens the door to limitless possibility. So which one are you fighting for? Complacency or possibility? My friends, we got to stop being lazy. Choose to wake up to take action. See, the cloak is comfortable. But it gets in the way. I can't move around. I'm not agile. See, action is like taking a sword in your hand. You can move. You can wield it. That's why the Bible is called the sword of truth. Because everything else is a lie. Excuses are a lie. Your circumstances are a lie. But the sword of truth gives you the capacity to cut through those lies. You can grab it. You can move around. You can back up. You can lean forward. Stop being lazy. Choose to wake up to possibility. See, it may not be easy. It may be uncomfortable. It may come with a fight. But can I tell you, everything that you're looking for in life is on the other side of your comfort zone. Want a better relationship with God? Stop being comfortable. Wake up a little earlier and read the Word of God. Stay up a little later and spend time with the Word of God. In a crazy situation with your relationship, go and get counseling. Well, we don't have the money. Figure it out. You're not committed. Well, you know, I want to start this business, but nobody's there to invest in me. Let me tell you, vision does not follow money. Money follows vision. Let me tell you, Jesus chose against comfort. And he opened the door to possibility for you and I. Though he was in the form of godliness, did not think it a thing to be grasped. but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. And through his righteous sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, which wasn't easy, which was tough, which was hard, he stood in commitment, and it opened the door to possibility for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Are you fighting for complacency, or are you fighting for possibility? Romans 8:37 says this: knowing all things, we're more than conquerors through him. A conqueror doesn't sit home with a cloak over him. A conqueror grabs a sword and says, I'm going to take action. I'm going to take ground. Conquering is an offensive, not a defensive. So are you going to continue to let life live you, or are you going to start living life? Are you going to stop taking from receiving everything that you've been given, or are you going to start taking what you want? What God has given to you, what God has destined for you. As a child and a son and daughter of God, he has given you the world. Go get it. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. So get your lazy butt and go take it from his hands. Because he's your loving, good father who wants to give you good gifts. And he's sitting there open-palmed, open-handed, says, you want it, but you're going to have to get up and come get it. God, forgive us for fighting for the sake of complacency. Oh, man. God, some of us need to just let go of our excuses. Some of us need to just remove this cloak of lies that the enemy has tried to keep us covered with. This bed of comfort that he has made for us. God, for somebody in this room, I declare that a change and a shift has come today. That they have received the word of the Lord, not from a man or eloquent speaker, but from the throne of God himself. It's time to get up and move. It's time to let go of the excuses. I want all that the Lord has for me. Because, God, you want to give good gifts to your children. And we know complacency guarantees impossibility. But action, getting up from our stoop and slumber, will open the door to limitless possibilities. God, I pray for every single person in this room who has been wrestling with this cloak. I want to declare, God, that it is removed in Jesus' name right now. That the chains are falling off right now in Jesus' name. That the excuses are over in Jesus' name right now. That impossibility has been overcome by possibility right now in Jesus' name. That everything that the enemy stole, you will restore 100-fold in Jesus' name right now. It says we are more than conquerors through Christ, not just because of Christ, but through Christ. He goes before us. He fights the battle for us. Thank you, God. There may be somebody in this room right now who's made excuses about why they don't have a relationship with Jesus.
why it's hard, why it's difficult, why it's not deeper, or why they just can't. Lord, remind them, Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you are in this room right now and you're saying, God, I'm tired of choosing complacency, and I know winter is coming, I want to be ready. I want the word deep in my heart. I want Jesus in my heart. I want Holy Spirit giving me wisdom. Father, I want all of you. If you're in this room right now, you're saying, God, I'm coming back. Right where you are, would you just raise your hand and say, listen, I'm going to choose possibility. I'm going to choose possibility of relationship. I'm going to choose possibility of connection. I'm going to choose possibility of wholeness in you. Come on, I see the hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. God, you see the hands in this room. God, I pray even for those who are afraid to put their hand up because the enemy still has them so trapped. I know that, Lord, you can overcome. Not only their heart of stone, but even their heart of fear. But Lord, I pray that you may give them the boldness to confess in the name and the power of Jesus. And I pray that you would seal each and every person who's making a commitment and declaration. I'm tired of living in complacency with my relationship with you. And I want to enter possibility. God, show me your glory.
Thank you again for joining us on the Relevant Church podcast. If this message has been impactful to you, let us know by sending an email to hello@thisisrelevant.cc. If God is impacting your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by investing at giving.thisisrelevant.cc. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast for more messages like this one.